Welcome to Geared Up from GeekWire. I'm Todd Bishop.
I'm Andrew Edwards.
Wow, Andrew, we got a lot to catch up on this week.
I've been gone.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to get your take on the Xbox One X. I want to complain a little bit about the iPhone X.
Okay.
I want to talk about wireless virtual reality, which is coming from HTC and Oculus.
Right.
Plus, we're going to be unboxing the Amazon Cloud Cam and talking about a brand new device that brings Alexa into the car.
Right. Well, not just that, but we're also talking about, don't skip over the Cloud Cam, we're also talking about the fact that Amazon wants you to give them a key, a virtual key, into your front door.
Absolutely.
And so, powered by the Cloud Cam.
That's right.
So that's going to be an interesting discussion.
That's right.
Some people have been freaking out about this.
Some people, including folks here in the GeekWire offices, although I think you and I are on a similar page, which may be contrary to public opinion. Mm-hmm. First off, don't forget you can subscribe to Geared Up at geekwire.com/geareduP. You can follow all of Andrew's YouTube videos at youtube.com/gearlive. Okay, so let's jump in.
What's the first topic at hand?
I want to talk about the Xbox One X.
Xbox One X, all right.
I had Taylor Soper on the show subbing in for you last week, Andrew.
Okay.
He and I came to a similar conclusion. For the casual gamer, the Xbox One X is not something you should buy unless you have a 4K TV, HDR already. You should really go for the Xbox One S at half the price at $250. Are we right or wrong?
I would say you're correct because you said for the casual gamer.
That's
when you're a casual gamer, that means, you know, that by definition, that's not a hardcore gamer.
Right.
So a casual gamer, even if you have a 4K HDR TV, you might just say, I don't really play games to completion. I just like to play things every now and then or want to have people over. Not only is the Xbox One X $499 versus $249, half the price, but leading into Black Friday, the Xbox One S will be $189.
Wow.
Which is, you know, that's a stark difference from the $500 Xbox One X, which just came out, so therefore will not be on sale for Black Friday.
So somebody approaches you just out and about, you know, you're hanging out at the store, electronics store, and says, hey, Andrew, should I get the Xbox One X?
Yep.
What do you tell them?
If they ask me that question, I would say, are you a hardcore gamer?
Yeah, and if they are. So let's say
if
they
are.
Yes.
The answer that I would give them, I would ask one more qualifying question. Do you have a PS4 or not?
Yep.
And then, you know, because the real differentiator there, if you're a hardcore gamer, it's PS4 Pro or Xbox One X. The PlayStation has the bigger game library.
Right.
So in other words, the majority of games that you can play on the Xbox One X, you can also play on the PlayStation 4. But the PlayStation 4 has more games that are only exclusive to itself. The Xbox One X does also have that with things like Halo or Forza. But even then, a lot of those games now, the Microsoft exclusives, can also be played on PC.
Right.
So if you have a PS4 and you want to play those Xbox games, you can play them on PC. But if you want the absolute best looking console by far, if you want the luxury of having a 4K Blu-ray player built in to your console with Dolby Atmos surround sound, high dynamic range, faster load times, and even super sampling if you're on a 1080p TV. And what super sampling is the Xbox will always create a 4K image. So if you're on a 1080p display, it'll just squeeze it down to 1080, but it won't lose any of the detail in the picture. So if that's you, if that, like, you know, there's a lot of techies out there, when they hear all that, they're like, that sounds exciting. That's the console to buy.
$500. That it's all yours.
$500.
Okay. What else on the Xbox One X? Because you were not around last week when we were talking about this. So we felt somewhat ill-informed, actually. So now that you're here, we can actually be well-informed.
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, it's really about the power. So, almost any game you play on the Xbox One X will get some sort of boost in functionality. But that's not really why you come to the Xbox One X. It's about the Xbox One X enhanced games specifically. And I was actually surprised. They launched with roughly 70 titles that were Xbox One X enhanced. I only thought there would be a handful. Like, you know, any other product launch in the video game world, you know, they launch with 10, 12 games. 70 right out of the gate. And there's more every day. And all developers have to do is just release updates, software updates to their games. And their 4K, their high dynamic range, surround, like Atmos surround sound, which means not only do you have the surround sound around you, but above you as well. So you're really enveloped. And these games look great. Like, I've been playing a lot of NBA 2K. Assassin's Creed, the new Call of Duty, and just a handful of titles. And even older ones like Halo 3 is Xbox One X enhanced, and the original Xbox, Fusion Frenzy, one of my favorite games on the original first Xbox. It's now part of the backwards compatibility program, and they enhanced that for Xbox One.
Wow.
It looks amazing. Cool. So yeah, I'm getting, you know, I feel like I'm getting my money's worth out of the Xbox One X. I'm excited about it.
All right. For more on the Xbox One X, be sure to check out Andrew's YouTube channel, youtube.com/gearlive. Now, I want to talk about the other X, which is actually
other
a
X.
10.
Okay.
The iPhone 10.
Yeah, that was the week of the X.
It was the week a couple weeks ago. X, exactly. I've been
iPhone
using my iPhone 10. I love it. It was totally worth the $1,000 that I plopped down.
And actually, iPhone 10. Let me see your iPhone 10.
My iPhone 10 here, and it was more than a grand because
it's the biggest case. What?
Hey man, you know, if you drop it, that's
a
big
investment.
Your
daughter, is that why? I mean, this is
industrial.
Adds twice the heft.
I should say though, one of the reasons why I got this case was I recognized that when I set the phone down without a case on it with the camera on the back, it's really kind of wonky because you've got that bulging camera on the back of the iPhone. Actually, I like this better. I'd rather just have a nice flat back.
But see, I'm a naked phone guy.
Yeah, so set it down. You can see. I mean, it's
set
like
it down.
Yeah,
who cares? Who cares?
Like, but if you try and type on that,
why would I
type
on it like that? I pick it up.
I type on it like that all the
time. You type on it like that? How are you going to do Face ID when it's down there?
Well, no, I go like this, and if I get a notification, and then I put it
back. Put it down.
All right. I get where this is going. Okay, so here's my main issue with the iPhone.
Yeah.
I complained about this last week, but I want to complain about it again because I think you might have an actual solution. Now, keep in mind, I'm upgrading from an iPhone 6.
Okay.
So I'm actually...
Not even a 6S.
Oh, 6S Plus.
Okay, 6S Plus.
But I'm not... I am now encountering all of the issues that everybody who went to the iPhone 7 encountered. And the main one for me is the headphone jack.
The headphone jack.
Here's what happened.
Okay.
I went to the gym. Yes, mm-hmm. I went to the gym.
Okay.
And I was sitting there, and usually I like to take the headphones out. You know, I'm listening to my iPhone, listening to music, and I'm like, oh, there's something interesting on the TV on the gym. I'm gonna plug into the exercise bike or the, you know, the elliptical thing.
Sure.
I suddenly realized I couldn't do that.
And that's so you can get the TV feed
the
into
TV
the
feed
phone.
Into my, not into the phone, but into my headphones.
Into your headphones, got it.
Right,
got
I just want to plug my headphones. But the headphones that I had were the Lightning port headphones because that's all that works with my iPhone.
Okay.
Now, you might say, oh, you could solve the port problem with the AirPods,
right? Bluetooth.
But that wouldn't solve the gym problem.
Right.
So what the heck am I supposed to do?
Well, first of all, it's what it sounds like your problem is that you want a pair of headphones that plug into the iPhone and also plug into gym equipment, which when Apple sells you a pair of headphones, they're not selling you gym equipment. Here's your workaround.
Well, okay, understood. Let me just say, for the record, I do think that there should be some attention paid to standards.
Sure.
Right, and that is what my gym equipment iPhone transition represents. But anyway, keep going.
Right, you also want to use floppy disk drives and all this stuff. No, but listen. There's a, I mean, that was a standard.
Burn.
That was a standard.
That was a total geek burn.
So here's your workaround, and this is for anybody out there who wants to listen to the TV feed no matter where you are in a public place. There's an app. I'm trying to find it. I have it on my phone. I believe the name of the app, because I have so many apps on here, I believe the name of the app is called Tunity, T-U-N-I-T-Y. I think that's it. And if it's not that, I'll find it and I'll clear it up.
Tunity. Hear any muted TV on the App Store.
There you go. So what you do is you launch Tunity, and you have to have location enabled on your phone. Tunity will then send the audio feed of any TV to your phone.
Wait.
And then you can listen
is
to
it
the
like
audio.
Coming in from the overworld? Does it like know that it's CNN?
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Okay. Whoa.
I don't know how they do that, but it works.
Okay, I'm going to test this.
So I did it in an airport. You know how the airport, they'll have the TV on, but obviously there's no sound coming out, and they have the subtitles. I'm like, I don't want to read the subtitles. I just want to hear what they're talking about on CNN. So I pull up Tunity, and I'm at SeaTac Airport, and this is the TV I'm looking at, and the feed comes through.
Andrew, you're a wizard. I knew that you would have a solution for me.
Tunity.
I did not expect it to not involve some kind of $30 adapter that I'd have to buy.
Oh, no. No, I mean, listen, For the gym, quite honestly, just grab a cheap pair of, you know, $9.99 headphones.
But then I gotta carry something else, you know, and I got my gym shorts, you know what I'm saying?
Right. So you carry your gym shorts? If you carry your gym shorts,
but
you
don't
carry,
I mean,
you throw a pair of cheap earbuds in there.
The evolution of technology should not involve carrying around more stuff.
Right.
It should be less stuff.
So the argument there is Apple and other, because Pixel doesn't have a headphone jack either.
Right.
Is Apple moving away from standards, or is the gym equipment not moving fast enough? See what I'm saying?
It's certainly not moving fast enough when I'm on there.
If you go to the gym, you know, 15 years ago, and you have your iPod, right, and you're like, hey, where do I put this tape? The gym gave me a tape. Come on, Apple, where's my tape player?
I'm still looking for the 8-track deck, you know? Oh, man. Okay, I get you. I mean, really, everything should be wireless. That should be the answer.
Yeah, I think so. Everything should just have a wireless option, because then you have standards. Although, let me go on a quick rant real quick.
Yeah.
The Pixel Buds. Remember the Pixel Buds? The Google Pixel Buds?
Yes.
Which Google, it's basically, they're kind of like their AirPods competitor, but it has the cool feature where it can do live translation
right.
if you're using it with a Pixel right. or Pixel 2 device. People have been getting them in. They started shipping. These Bluetooth headphones do not even work with computers. They only work with iOS or Android, and the live translation only works with a Pixel. What the hell?
Which is Google's phone.
So if you have a computer and you want to, like, listen to music from your Bluetooth.
No, that's ridiculous.
No, it's not, it's Bluetooth, but it's not real Bluetooth.
Do the AirPods work with Windows?
Anything.
Anything,
yeah.
Okay.
It works with Android, because it's just Bluetooth.
So Gizmodo's headlines on this, on their review is, Google's Pixel Buds aren't even close to being good.
There you go.
Yeah, these are $160 wireless earbuds just for Android phones.
Right. It'll also work with iOS,
okay.
but it won't have the same, you know, functionality. But come on. The AirPods are also $160. They work on any, like, I can use them on my Apple TV while I'm sitting on the couch. I can use them with my Mac. I can use them with a PC, Android, like any Bluetooth. Why would you make a pair of Bluetooth earbuds that only work with phones?
Yeah.
That seems like an artificial limitation.
Going back to the iPhone X, here's one thing that I absolutely love, and that's the NFC purchasing. Maybe that was on my iPhone 6. Apple Pay. Yeah, Apple Pay.
Was that on? I don't think
if
it was on
the
6. It might have, I don't remember.
So I was like at a, have you ever been to Pump It Up in Linwood? You know what I'm talking about? It's a kid's birthday party factory with, you go from room to room. Anyway,
no.
I needed a break from the room to room thing with the kids because my daughter was going to a birthday party. At any rate, there was a vending machine out there and like I didn't have any cash on me and I hate using a credit card in a vending machine. You could use Apple Pay on the vending machine.
Apple Pay, all the things. Yeah, Apple Pay is fantastic. Like that is very smart because Apple keeps a percentage of every Apple Pay transaction, and the more people start using this, which you know is happening more and more, that's just another revenue stream that the company's bringing in. But yeah, no, I love Apple Pay. Do you know how to bring it up quickly?
Yeah, double tap.
Just double tap right there
on the right hand side.
Yep. Amazing. It's just right there all the time.
Yep.
I love it.
And to be clear, double tap on the.
The right side button on the iPhone X, or if you have a previous iPhone, it's a triple tap on the home button.
Yeah. All right, good stuff. That's a quick recap of Andrew's feelings on the iPhone X, or at least his answers to my problems with the iPhone X.
There you go, Tunity.
That's right. Xbox One X. Coming up, we are going to be unboxing Amazon's new Cloud Cam and talking about the Amazon Key service. You're listening to Geared Up on GeekWire. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Geared Up. I'm Todd Bishop.
I'm Andrew Edwards.
You're listening to GeekWire, and we are now going to be jumping in with our hands-on with this device right here in front of me. It is the Amazon Cloud Cam.
Is this supposed to be exciting?
Don't you get excited by any unboxing?
I'm just asking, are you excited about the Cloud Cam?
Yes. Yeah, well, I am, personally. We'll have to let the audience answer that on their own.
Okay.
It is, as you can see, certified frustration-free packaging from Amazon. So I'm opening it up
here.
Now, as we're talking about this,
you gotta remove
this is
that sleeve.
$119, $120 camera from Amazon. Here it is right here. It works in conjunction alternatively, with a service called Amazon Key that allows you to get packages delivered from Amazon. And in the future, other service providers will get access to your door as well. In conjunction with the key, Amazon literally unlocks the door. But the Cloud Cam itself that can work on its own.
Right.
And
but just to reiterate, though, Amazon can open your front door when you're not home with your permission, if you grant them that access.
Right.
And this records basically that action. The
That's
door
right.
opens. This shows the person coming in, shows them dropping off your package, shows them closing the door, so that if something crazy goes on and they're like, you know what, I'm going rogue today, it's my last day of work, and they have a very nice vase over there, I'm taking that. It'll be shown here on the cloud cam. Is that why? I mean, I'm assuming that's
the
why
whole
they have
idea.
The, yeah,
that is
that's
the whole
why they
idea.
Have the camera.
And, you know, they do have a guarantee. They call it the happiness guarantee. So if something goes wrong, they say they'll do right by it. But the cloud cam also works on its own. It sells in conjunction with smart locks, which is what we're
right.
talking about there. And that whole service, I think, creeps some people out.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like you and I are, though, in the minority.
How much is this?
This is $119, $120 for the cloud cam.
$119.
Alone.
Yep. It works with the cloud cam app, 1080p. Infrared night vision, connects to Wi-Fi, has a built-in mic and speaker, so you can talk to people through it, and a 120-degree, so that's a wide-angle field of view. You can pull it up on your smartphone and see the live feed as well.
So some of the things you can do with this cloud cam without even doing the cloud, the Amazon Key service, you can check your live stream 24/7 in the
mm-hmm.
app from your phone or from your Fire TV stick. It has night vision. 8 infrared IEDs. What are IEDs? Infrared electronic...
infrared emissive
IEDs.
Diode or something. I don't know.
We'll check that out. Intelligent alerts. It'll detect motion and send alerts to your phone. You can do home and away. It sets up zones. So if you know that there's one area where your cat goes or you know you don't want that to detect
right.
it and send you an alert, you can do that. It also works with Alexa. So you can, using the Fire TV stick, you can have Alexa show you the live stream of your camera. I presume it
right.
also works with the Echo Show.
I'm sure it does.
So I literally just got this. It's a review unit from mm-hmm. Amazon that we're unboxing here. I'm going to be trying it out over the next week through Thanksgiving, perhaps. I'm going to put it up on the wall
here
in
the
GeekWire conference room. I'm going to let people know what I'm doing so they know they're
okay.
on the cloud cam.
Okay.
Because my wife is really nervous about
Why?
This. She doesn't want the Amazon Key service. And these two were announced at the same time, so she sort of puts them together, the cloud cam and the key.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't. She's just not
yeah,
super comfortable with it.
This.
It is, but you know what? It's at some point. I like.
Why is it easier for us to explain things to the people out there than it is for us to explain
you know,
things to our wives?
At some
Why?
Point, at some point, she just said, "Look, just do
just
that.
Get it out of
do
here.
That stuff somewhere.
Just get
else.
It out of here."
So
wow.
that's the cloud cam. I should point out, we just had an interesting feature on the site this past week about an alternative camera from a bunch of former Amazon people,
okay.
Amazon engineers, called the Wyze Cam, W-Y-Z-E Cam.
Mm-hmm.
And they are offering something with somewhat similar functionality for $20.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's the one. That's the one right there.
So how do you think that's going to work compared to this?
I mean, we'll see. I mean,
we
thing
need to
is,
get
these are all
a
commodity.
Unit.
All these cameras now, they all do the same thing.
Yep.
Like these are it's almost like smartphones where you have to try to build in different features. When you're going for the low pricing, like you're all building pretty much the same thing. It's a camera that can be accessed over Wi-Fi. Sometimes they have speakers in them. I don't know that this is going like this
the
is
Amazon.
Amazon's way of getting into your house to do the key service, in
yes,
my opinion.
Like,
that's really the main point of this camera. I don't know that many people, because there's so many better cameras out there for almost the same price. Like I would much rather buy a Nest camera.
So how does the Nest, which is from Google,
mm-hmm.
stack up to this? Because you did a pretty thorough hands-on and
yeah,
review of that.
I mean, what Nest has is they're including a bunch of machine learning into the feed. So when they get the camera feed and then they're like process. Then it's not just like, hey, here's a zone where there's a cat. They're like, oh, that is a cat. And we don't need a zone. We just know that's a cat. We know that's a dog. Oh, we know that's a person walking in, but we know that that's Todd. Oh, that person walking in is not a member of the family. We need to alert somebody that someone's in the house. Like that kind of stuff.
Yeah. What's Todd doing up at 3 a.m.? Why did he just get home at 3 a.m.? That kind of thing. See, that's where people take it to the next logical step.
Oh, my goodness.
See, that's what creeps people out. I mean,
that's
you're
hilarious.
Talking about machine learning and detection
yeah.
like that as an advantage. But I think there is a real societal issue here in terms of whether people will feel comfortable with this intrusion of technology into their homes.
It is an intrusion.
But it's also a benefit, and you have
it
to
is.
Weigh those two things.
The intrusion part is the fact, which is a fact, that now these companies know when you're home and when you're not. And they know when you come and when you go.
Now, of
and
course,
they'll start to know your schedule.
My security company, you know, my alarm company knows that as well.
True.
But it's not trying to sell me toilet paper.
That's true. Right. Right. They're not trying to come into your house when you're not there. But that is a good point. There are companies that we're willing to give information to.
Right.
That we're just so used to giving information that we don't even realize when a new company wants the same information. We're like, why would we give that information away? But you already give it away elsewhere. So that is a good point.
Well, my favorite tweet when the Cloud Cam and Amazon Key were announced was Peter Kafka from Recode. He said, you've already let Jeff Bezos put a listening device in your home. Why not just give him the keys to your door?
Right, right. Some people don't do that either, though. That's why. No. Now, someone asked in the chat, is the Cloud Cam always recording? Is it like on 24/7?
Yes.
Or it is?
24/7 live stream.
24/7 monitoring. Stay connected to your home, family, and pets, and catch motion events as they happen.
Now, I don't know if there's an option to turn that. I mean, obviously, you can turn it off, but is there an option to set up only certain times of the day? These are the questions I'll be answering as we try it out here in the GeekWire offices.
But yeah, I mean, this is where the future is going. And so, what's interesting, and now I don't know if we're getting too philosophical, but you know, for people like in my age group and probably yours as well, because we're fairly similar in age, I think. There's the chasm of we didn't have this stuff and now we do. And, oh, this is exciting. This is cool because we're into tech. We like it. But for our children, when they are our age, this has just been here.
It's the reality.
There is no life where I never had a smartphone. There is no life where I didn't have a camera in my house or the device listening to me at all times. And does that mean that, you know, Apple has been very, very, very adamant about they are the company to go with for privacy because they do not sell your data. They sell you products. Whereas Google is the company that
they're collecting data.
We are an advertising company.
Amazon is obviously collecting data here, and they can use that to target ads to you on the things you want to buy. They can, since you came home at 3 a.m., we might want to get you some aspirin this morning, promoting that in your Amazon feed.
Right.
Microsoft makes a similar pitch to Apple in that, you know, they're also not trying to sell you stuff.
Okay.
They're trying to sell you objects. They're not trying to essentially take your data and turn it into advertising.
So then the question becomes, which is better? Like, obviously people want more privacy, but then people get mad when, you know, someone who has a smartphone does some sort of terrorist act and the police want to get into that phone or the FBI wants to get into that phone and Apple says, we don't have the keys to the phone. No one has it. Like, we make secure devices.
But back to your point, this is the reality for our kids.
Yes.
What's going to creep them out?
Will
the world go?
What's going to creep them out? Going into someone's home that does not have voice control. They're going to go into a home and say, Alexa, turn the lights on. Where are you? And their tears are going to flow. Like, I can't do things with my voice. What is happening? What else is there? What else is left besides having eyes and ears in your home and drop-in? Don't forget about Amazon's drop-in feature. Amazon, just drop in on grandma.
Using one of the Alexa devices. I do want to set that up. I'm going home for Thanksgiving. I want to set that up on my mom's phone. Mm-hmm. So my mom's Alexa device.
Yes.
All right. Hey, before we end this segment focused on some of these Amazon products, I want to talk about a new product. But let's start with this slightly older product. This is the Garmin product that we talked about a few weeks ago. This is the Garmin Speak. Mm-hmm. I bought it for $150. This is the device initially that brings Alexa into your car.
Alexa in the car, which is cool.
It is cool. I started to use this thing, but I immediately stopped because it is required to stick to your windshield.
Right. Actual sticker, right?
Right, with like a sticker thing, and then you use a magnet to attach it to the thing. And then you've got to run the cord up. Over,
I hate that.
Around the edge of the windshield, down into whatever power source you've got. So here's the thing. So I got this. I have not used it because it's just so cumbersome to get in there. Mm-hmm. And the problem is if you put it on the dash, like you turn it upside down, it's upside down. It's literally designed to hang from your windshield.
Has to.
So here is what was announced just today. Called the Muse. It's a $50 device. It's from a company called Speak Music, which makes the Melody personal music assistant. This has Alexa in it as well.
Okay.
The cool thing here is that it can attach to your dashboard. So it can actually look like a normal device just sort of stuck to your dashboard from which it can just very easily plug into the power source, your cigarette lighter. And also the neat thing for people who have older cars like me, I have a 2007 car. I do have Bluetooth, but it's mostly for communication. It's not for audio. With this thing, you're going to be able to plug it into the aux port to get sound. And the whole idea is it brings Alexa
from your phone to it.
Yeah, you stream. You stream from your phone to the Muse, and then the Muse connects into your stereo system. On newer cars, it also does some of the same things that like CarPlay does, where you can actually see the music that's playing. You can see like the weather from Alexa on your in-car display, which I don't have.
That's
I've got
pretty
an
cool.
Old school radio. I bought two of these with my own money this morning.
You bought two?
Yes. Uh-oh. I want to get one for my wife who does not even have Bluetooth in her car. Okay. So I'm thinking that she can just stream from the phone to this device.
Your wife does not like Alexa.
No, she does like Alexa. In fact, she's my motivation for buying these things.
She just doesn't like Amazon's looking in your house.
Exactly. She's fine with the listening. It's just not the coming in the door.
Okay, got it.
So at any rate, this is an interesting device. Again, it's called Muse. It's from Speak Music.
So it's available now for $50 bucks.
It's available now for $50. You can also, there's a slightly discounted version, at least there was as of earlier this morning when I checked, on Indiegogo. They're doing Indiegogo. But they are actually in production, and they're planning to release this. They say in December, so I'll be able to tell. I ordered it this morning, so I'll be able to tell. I definitely want to try this out, and I think for me, for like people with 10-year-old cars, this seems like the right device.
Okay. Yeah. Alexa in the car, not bad. And you can do all the Alexa stuff, I assume, when it goes through your phone's data service.
Exactly.
To get that. Okay.
So 25,000 skills. It seems if it works as promised, I'm very excited about this one.
Yeah, that's cool.
We'll see. All right, so that is a quick look at the latest news in Amazon Alexa and home services. We will be right back with a discussion of wireless VR.
Wireless VR.
Very excited about this coming up on Geared Up on GeekWire. Welcome back. You're listening to Geared Up. I'm Todd Bishop.
I'm Andrew Edwards.
Hey, don't forget to subscribe to Geared Up. Just go to geekwire.com/geareduP. And if you want to see the behind-the-scenes live show, you can either go to facebook.com/geekwire or Andrew's YouTube channel, where he has all his reviews at youtube.com/gearlive. Hey, I want to talk about VR.
All right. Before you do, you just reminded me. Someone at the iPhone 10 launch stopped me and said, hey, are you Andrew Edwards? You're from GeekWire?
Oh, GeekWire.
Geared Up? You're in Geared Up?
What?
I said, yeah.
Whoa.
I'm like, I'm a listener and I love the show. I was like, hey, thanks. That's great.
Awesome. Did you get his name?
I did not.
Oh.
It was terrible because, you know, it's the mania of everybody trying to get their phones and check out. And like, I was like, I should have got that guy's name and thanked him like by name, but I wanted to say thank you.
Yeah. Shout out to you, anonymous
fan.
Shout
out to you, Linwood Mall Apple Store. But yeah, if you see me out and about, come say hello.
You're
a friendly guy.
You've got this iconic look to you, Andrew.
Like, yes.
You're very recognizable.
That's good.
Yes.
That's good.
All right. Are you the only former pro wrestler doing technology reviews?
There is a current pro wrestler who's also doing them, but not nearly as good. His name is Stevie Richards. He used to be a wrestler back in the 90s. He still wrestles today part-time, but he also does tech reviews, tech videos.
Have you guys thought about doing kind of a joint show, like you could call
we've
it?
We've talked about it before.
Wrestling with gadgets.
he's actually appeared on my YouTube channel doing video reviews as well.
All right. Well, serious
I'm
digression
the best
there.
Former pro wrestler. You're the tech reviewer.
I believe that.
Yeah.
Wait, the best wrestler or the best reviewer?
The best.
Both.
Both. There you go.
Could you beat it? Ooh, that's what you should do.
What should I do?
You should actually have like a wrestling match
with
in the middle with this guy. All right, let's move on to some more serious pursuits. Okay. I want to talk about VR. I had an interesting experience. I took my daughter, who's 6 years old and was actually too young for the experience, I think, to a virtual reality arcade. A facility.
So these are places where you go where they have different VR systems set up, like different booths, basically. You rent a booth for a certain amount of time. You can play all the VR games you want within that amount of time.
Exactly. Okay. For an hour, it was like $44 for two of us. It was pretty spendy. It was kind of in hindsight, she used it the whole time. I just sort of helped her. I should have just paid for one person.
You shouldn't have paid for that.
Anyway, if we go back, I'll learn my lesson. At any rate, one of the things that struck me was, you know, they had this elaborate system because it was a HTC Vive system hooked up to Steam. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the most robust library of games, if I'm not mistaken. And like they had to like do the tether up above the thing, and then it went down to her, and it kept getting twisted. But we are starting to enter a new era where a lot of these headsets will be wireless.
Yeah.
And we've just seen two efforts. And of course, VR on the phone is already sort of there, right?
Yeah.
If you pop your phone in there, that works. But we're seeing two efforts from HTC with the new Vive Focus, which
Vive
was
Focus.
Just announced this past week, and then Oculus Go.
Yes.
So somewhere in the range of $200 for each of these devices, due out sometime next year. Now, the bummer is the Vive Focus just so far has only been announced for China.
That was
the initial announcement was for the Chinese market. I think the assumption is that they're going to be bringing it to the U.S. or North America as well, because they just canceled their plans to do a Google Daydream standalone independent device, wireless device. At any rate, I love to see this because it feels like you need this more lightweight experience that's not tied to your smartphone.
Really, really strong PC.
Yes.
Like, that's the other thing. If you want to have a great VR experience at home, like if you want to have an easy VR experience, you use the smartphone versions where you put the phone inside and walk around, like the Samsung Gear VR or
right.
the Google Daydream. But that is limited to your smartphone's resolution, so it doesn't look as good. Or you can plug an Oculus Rift or an HTC Vive into a very strong gaming PC. And the better your graphics card, the better your processor, the better it's going to look. But that's a multi-$1,000 proposition. It looks fantastic. It's fun. It's great. But it's also expensive.
So we're actually going to be talking next week about our holiday gift picks, Andrew's picks for the holiday season. Would you put any kind of VR on your list, or do you plan to?
If you are so this goes back to that question of if you're a hardcore gamer or not that we talked about with Xbox One X. Because the thing with VR, and I mean, you can probably back me up on this, is as much as you listen to or watch us talk about VR, until you try it yourself, it's one of those things where there's just no way we can get across to you the feeling, especially good VR, the feeling of you put this thing on and at first you're like, oh, this is cool, this is weird. And then, 30 seconds or 60 seconds in, you're like, I'm actually here. I'm actually in this world, and I'm almost forgetting that there's a world outside of here. It really transports you. And so if you're into, like, that is a futuristic experience, in my opinion. That really feels like I'm doing something futuristic, and it's fun. If you have the money and if you're into gaming or just want that, cool experience, I would say, yeah. Like, if you want future tech, that's one of the future techs out there. But it's expensive.
I will say, if you want to just try this, there's so many smartphone applications to be able to do this. The smartphone Google Cardboard experience that I've had the best luck with is called VR Box. They make a really nice...
I don't even know what this is.
It's kind of plastic. It's only like $10.
Okay.
But it's very easy to slip your phone into it, especially if you have a larger phone like an iPhone 7 Plus or an 8 Plus.
Right.
Just a really solid device. You can get them anywhere, the VR Box.
Okay.
It's just a good, cheap, well-made device. My thing was, we went to that VR arcade. I was really paying attention to how my daughter reacted. First off, I just wanted to make sure she had a good time.
Yeah.
So she had a good time. The Vive was way too heavy for her head.
Mm.
It fit her head, but by the time she got done, and I probably shouldn't have let her play this long, but she played for a full hour, a variety of games. By the time she got done, she had these like big red marks across her cheeks.
The heaviness.
Yeah, exactly. But also, I noticed just in her general demeanor after that hour, she was a little out of it.
Mm-hmm.
She had clearly, it was like being immersed in a movie for 4 hours. That was kind of like the reaction that I was getting from her.
I think that's a phenomenon. Like, that is, because as I mentioned, like, your brain, because your ears are hearing it, your eyes are seeing it, and as you naturally move your body's experiencing it. So for all intents and purposes, your brain thinks that you're there. Like, wherever you are, whether you're on Mars or you're in the middle of fighting, zombies or whatever it is, it's very realistic. And, I don't know if the age makes a difference, but I do remember, like, with the Nintendo 3DS, Nintendo would say, like, if you have a child, I think it was under 7 years old, turn off the 3D. And they're just playing in the real world. But there's something, I don't know what it is about the younger mind or eyes or what it is, but, even Nintendo was cautious right out of the box saying, if you have a child under seven, don't have them play in 3D mode.
Right.
And I wonder if that's related.
I think I was probably not the greatest parent.
It's one time. I mean,
she had fun.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. She had a good time.
So, all right. So that is a couple thoughts on VR. I will say the first time I ever experienced VR was probably 3 years ago now. It was an early Oculus Rift.
Okay.
It was at a developer's office, actually in his apartment, sort of an indie developer that I met, and he had hooked up a backpack computer system. So it was very early. It was untethered. And it was a sort of Star Wars clone game that he had done in his thing. And it had you standing up on a pedestal while these things came at you, and you blocked them with your, you know, faux lightsaber. I got to tell you, like, standing there and looking over the edge of that precipice, I mean, to your point, it feels real.
Yeah.
And like my body was telling me, do not step forward.
Right, right. You start sweating, like you feel like you're there. I remember playing this game. There was a bow and arrow game where you'd have to pull the bow. And it was just funny how you're literally just doing this, but in the game, you see the bow and arrow. So you're actually like pulling with your muscles. So like I was like, wow, my arm is tired. And I was like, why is my arm tired? Like, why am I actually pulling with all my might when it's just air?
Yeah.
Like it's just, it plays with your mind. So. That is the future. I mean, there's the VR and there's also the AR, and
yep.
I wonder how those will converge.
Absolutely. Augmented reality is going to be cool. HoloLens is a very good experience too.
Yes.
All right. We are going to run. Thank you very much for tuning in to Geared Up, everybody. Tune in next week when Andrew presents his 2017 holiday gift picks.
Yes. The things that you need to add to your list or the things that you need to buy the people in your life if they love tech.
And I'm going to sort of throw in a couple of mine too.
Please do.
Okay.
Please do.
All right. Until next time, I'm Todd Bishop.
I'm Andrew Edwards.
You're listening to Geared Up on GeekWire. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Geared Up, the weekly tech and gadget podcast. Check out more of Andrew's reviews at youtube.com/gearlive and follow all of our coverage at geekwire.com.